everyone, and welcome to the American Foundation for the Blind Center on Vision Loss. My name is Neva Fairchild. I'm National Independent Living and Employment Specialist for American Foundation for the Blind, and want to talk to you today about employment as a person who is older and what you need to do to be ready to look for a job and also to share some resources with you that will be helpful. So we just heard a presentation on Social Security benefits. Now that you have decided that you won't lose all of your benefits because you go to work and you're not afraid of going to work anymore, let's talk about what else you need to do to get ready. So people with vision loss need to look at the jobs that they are considering in terms of the tasks that are involved in those jobs and what it takes to be able to do that task with your vision. And what you do with your vision and how you do something like, for example, read the computer screen is going to be different from the person next to you who might have vision loss. But there are solutions for everyone who have visual impairments to do most tasks on most jobs. Now, I can't promise that the perfect job for you is completely accessible to you as a person with a visual impairment, but there are very few jobs that aren't at least partially accessible. I have a very short list of jobs that I would prefer that the person who is doing them not be blind. I'd rather my jet pilot not be blind. Although, with the automatic landing and flying capabilities of planes, and before too long, cars, I may have to change this list. I'd also rather my bus driver or my taxi driver not be blind. I'd really like to arrive at my destination safe and sound. But that doesn't mean that the dispatcher that is sending them to their destination or the planner that's mapping out the city and figuring out the best routes couldn't be a person with vision loss. I have some friends who are both totally blind, and they alerted me to another job that probably shouldn't be done by a person who's blind, and that is firemen. They had a fire in their kitchen. They smelled the smoke. They heard the flames. They knew there was fire. They ran and got the water hose. They grabbed the fire extinguisher, but they couldn't find the flames. So I think it's important that a fireman be able to see the flames, okay? Do you think that someone could still work in the fire department as a person with vision loss? Of course they could. They could be in a planning department, a training department. They could be a dispatcher. In fact, 911 operators are often people who are blind or visually impaired or have other disabilities. And so it depends on your skills and your abilities and your interests as to what kind of job you want to look for, especially as a person who is older and who has lost vision later in life. You probably already had a career, and you may have had to leave it because of your vision. Does that mean you can't go back? Absolutely not. It means that you need to gain the skills and use the tools that will allow you to do the job you used to do or a new job if you don't want to go back to what you have done previously. Let's break it down to a couple of important tasks that need to be dealt with at first, before you even start applying for jobs. Because if you did apply and got a job and you didn't have the basic skills to cope with your vision loss in place, it's likely to be disastrous. And what a shame to set yourself up for a failure that then you have to overcome that sense of disappointment and that frustration that people who try to get back to work too quickly before they have these compensatory skills in place experience. So, first of all, you've got to be able to handle things around the house, like setting an alarm and getting up on time, fixing your own breakfast, grooming yourself appropriately, fixing your face if you're a lady, shaving if you're a man, matching your clothes, all of the things that it takes to handle your personal needs in the home. Those skills are typically taught either in your home with a rehabilitation teacher or therapist, or at a blindness rehabilitation center. And it's important to have those foundational skills in place before you decide, I'm going to work. Now, you may say to me, but I need to be at work right now. I don't have time to learn all of that before I return to work. Then you're going to have to take a crash course. You're going to have to study in the evenings. And you can do that in lots of ways through the Hadley School for the Blind programs. There are lots of classes you can take by getting involved with a rehabilitation agency to get the skills, the basic skills you need before you go back to work. Again, we want to avoid you experiencing a failure when you try to return to work the first time. After you feel like, you know, I'm handling things around the house pretty well, then you need to think about, and probably at the same time as you're learning those skills, you need to think about, how am I going to get around in my community? You need to work on mobility skills. An orientation and mobility specialist can teach you these skills. You may need to use a mobility tool, such as a long white cane, or you may want to take the time to learn to use a dog guide, especially if you're doing a lot of traveling and your cane skills are good, but you're still not moving at a pace that you feel good about, and you want to get there faster, you may be a good candidate for using a dog as a guide. Once mobility skills and independent living skills are in place, and at the same time you're learning these skills, you have to think about the work-related tasks that you want to be able to do and that most people who work need to be able to do. For example, being able to read. Now, reading can mean a lot of different things on different jobs. Does it mean reading the pink while you were out slip so you know who to call back? Does it mean reading your computer screen? Does it mean reading big printouts of budgets that are spreadsheets that are columns and columns wide and rows and rows long with tiny little numbers and that type of thing? Do you have to read handwriting on the job, or is it all going to be mechanically printed text that you're going to read? There are probably going to be some writing tasks involved in doing most every job. At the very least, you need to be able to write notes to your coworkers, memos, email messages, text messages maybe, depending on the industry. Writing and reading are essential to almost any job. Now, there may be other tasks on the job that would need to be learned either on the job or some of the basics learned before you even start the job. Some employers are willing to train on the job, some are not. And the industry has a lot to do with that. So you may be thinking, well, that's nice. I can't read handwriting. I can't see the computer screen to read it. I couldn't read a spreadsheet if I needed to. How am I going to do that? So there's access technology devices such as video magnifiers that take an image of a piece of printed material and or handwriting and put the image up on a large screen, and you have control over how big that information is. And if you have some remaining vision, that may be a tool that will help you. But even if you have remaining vision and you need to read on the job, you may need to read so much that your vision would fatigue before you would finish the task. Or you may read so slowly that you wouldn't be able to keep up with the pace. And I have good news and bad news. Employers expect you, as a person with a visual impairment, to produce and compete with your sighted coworkers. That's the, I guess, bad news if you're hoping for, some break in that and, you know, gee, I'm going to come back to work, but because I have a visual impairment, I'm going to work slow. The good news is employers expect you to compete with your sighted coworkers in terms of production and pace. And that's good news because they will pay you at the same rate as your sighted coworkers. So as a person with vision loss, we really need to be prepared to keep up that pace. So you have to look for really efficient ways to get the job done. And for some people, that may be magnification. For some people, it may be using audio access, electronic access through a screen reader on the computer or through an optical character recognition device that takes an image of a printed page and speaks it out loud. Screen enlargement on the computer, as well as screen reading technology for the computer, allow people at all levels of vision to use the computer, and with the foundation of touch typing skills so that you don't have to look at the keyboard in order to type, you will be as competitive, you have the potential to be as competitive as your sighted coworkers. So addressing those issues before you start looking for a job is extremely important. How are you going to do that? Where are you going to find out what kind of technology is going to help you? Well, that's where the state vocational rehabilitation system can help. So every state in the United States has an agency designated to help people who are blind or visually impaired to return or go to work for the first time. Those are the experts, and those are the people that can connect you with a method of evaluating that kind of technology and learning to use it. And that's an important connection you're going to want to make in order to get the technology, determine the technology you need, perhaps get the technology in your possession, and, of course, learn to use it. Most states are able to provide technology when it is work-related. It's all budget related as well. So I'm not making any promises that your state agency is going to buy you the piece of software you need for computer access on the job, but most will at some level be able to help you acquire technology for work-related tasks. There are also free programs out there that will allow you to use screen reading technology specifically on your computer that don't cost anything. So you can learn to use them even at home on a PC, or if you have a Mac, it's also built in, to be able to build those skills and use them for personal needs as well as work-related needs. Once you feel like, okay, I think I've figured out this is what I need to be able to read, this is what I need to be able to write, this is how I will do the tasks of the job I'm interested in, then you are ready to take a look at making application and starting to look for employers. You may still have questions like, how do other people who are blind or visually impaired do this type of job? Do I have all of the skills I need? And how can I find out what is involved in a job if I've never done that job? Now, if you used to work in a particular industry, let's say you were a teacher. You know what's involved. You have to be able to write lesson plans. You have to be able to read student papers. You have to be able to monitor a classroom. So go through in your mind or write it down all of the tasks that are involved in the job you used to do and determine how you're going to do them now with your current level of vision. You may decide, you know what, I don't think I can do that, but let me promise you there's probably somebody out there who's blind or visually impaired doing just that job. And through American Foundation for the Blind's Career Connect website, you can connect with a blind or visually impaired mentor working in a field that you're interested in. You can talk to them by email at first, and eventually, if you both agree, you can talk on the phone or even meet in person if you happen to live in the same area of the country, and you can find out how they have dealt with the situations that you're not sure yet how you would deal with them. Connecting with a mentor can be as simple as asking a few questions, and it can be as complicated or deep of a relationship as your new best friend who is going to help you and encourage you and connect you with information that you wouldn't have found otherwise if you weren't talking to someone who's experienced. Career Connect can be found on the AFB homepage, A as American, F as Foundation, B as Blind.org, AFB.org. And on our main page, you look for the Career Connect link. When you bring Career Connect up, there are several areas of the website that you would want to know about. I'm going to jump to a couple of those areas right now.
About us, heading level 2 link, living with vision loss, heading level 2
link. On the AFB webpage, there are several basic areas of information, like living with vision loss and technology, that you may want to read in advance.
The Career Connect website has
several areas that are specific to job seekers.
Featured slideshow items heading level 2.
The featured slideshow takes you to some of the newest information on the site, like a blog post about a person who has used hobbies to build skills.
Our stories, Kirk
you
Adams,
have a
AFB,
section on our stories that have articles and links to even news stories about people who are blind and visually impaired doing all sorts of different types of jobs.
Employment information for
there's a basic section on employment information for job seekers.
Register with my career.
And there's a place where you can register on Career Connect to be able to connect with mentors and get updates of information. I think that's the place to start, is getting registered, and then you have full access to all of the information from Career Connect. And that includes a job seeker's toolkit, because one of the other questions you very likely have is, how do I even get out there and start looking for a job? The way I looked for a job when I was starting my career was sending out resumes and waiting for people to call me. And in the year 2016, it's a very different job-seeking environment. And we're going to have another presentation specific to that, so I'm not going to steal Jana's thunder, but I want you to know that there's a whole curriculum, a whole set of lessons that will help you learn the tips and tricks for looking for a job as a person with vision loss. Now, Career Connect is for job seekers of all ages, so don't be put off by the story that you run across on why you don't want to go to a job interview with blue hair. That's designed for teenagers, okay? Although there may be a few of us who, little old ladies who do have blue hair, it's okay for us. You just don't want to go to a job interview all, punk rocked out. You probably won't get hired. But those are lessons for teenagers. There are still applicable stories on Career Connect for adults and seniors who are job seeking. Here's the basic point to all I have said. It is possible and it is desirable for you as a senior, as an older worker, to return to work for many reasons. It is a way to boost your income. It's a way to stay connected in your community. It's a way to share the experience of your life and career with others. And it's a way to give back to the world some of the wisdom that you have developed through living life to the fullest. And that's what American Foundation for the Blind wants to help you do. We want to expand your possibilities to whatever world of work you would like to re-enter. And we pride ourselves on having the resources available to you 24/7, 365 through Career Connect and our other family of websites. I hope that this information has been helpful and that you will utilize these resources and get back to work. Thank you. Any questions? Okay.
Why, if someone doesn't have access to the internet, to look at Career Connect, what would
If a person does not have access to Career Connect so that they cannot take advantage of the AFB resources, I would suggest that you call the AFB Information and Resource Center, and you can reach that center by calling 214-352-7222. Because much of the information we have, we can send out to you in large print or in Braille. And there are people that can help you connect with the mentor database if you don't have access to the internet. I would also encourage anyone who is seeking a job to build the skills to be able to use the internet. And if you don't have a computer at home, there's a wonderful resource called Computers for the Blind that the Information and Resource Center can connect you with, that you can get an accessible computer in your home with either speech or screen magnification software already loaded on it. It's a refurbished computer running Windows 7 at this point, and it's only $110. And if you need the magnification software, they will put it on there for you. And that's a $395 program, but you still only pay $110 for that computer. It's a great way to build skills, and it's a great way to connect with employers. So building the ability to use the internet is really important for someone who wants to return back to work. It's always a great way, too, to stay connected with your family and friends and the community in general. You also have resources in your community for work. In Texas, it's the Texas Workforce Commission. It'll have other names in other states, but it's basically the employment centers in every state. There's employment centers. Get connected with those folks. Work with their specialists to find employers and to get access to the information that you don't have if you're not a computer user. I'm not going to say that absolutely every job on earth requires computer use these days, but more and more do. And even if it's just as simple as to log in to document your hours so that you get your paycheck, a little bit of computer experience and a little bit of computer knowledge is very important. So I would include that in your task to build skills when you're building your repertoire to return to the world of work.